Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, February the 16th, former American Cardinal Theodore Edgar McCarrick is dismissed from the clerical state for abuse. Nigeria's Electoral Commission shocks the nation by delaying a crucial presidential and parliamentary vote. And Pope Francis marks the 50th anniversary of the Augustinianum Patristic Institute in Rome. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. The Holy See on Saturday published a statement from the Vatican Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith concerning the case of Theodore Edgar McCarrick. The decree announced sanctions against the former American cardinal, including dismissal from the clerical state. Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which investigated the accusations, issued the decree, finding McCarrick guilty of the following delicts while a cleric: solicitation in the sacrament of confession and sins against the sixth commandment with minors and with adults, with the aggravating factor of the abuse of power. The penalty for these crimes is dismissal from the clerical state. The statement of the CDF notes that McCarrick's appeal against this decision was considered on February 13th by the ordinary session of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith and confirmed. McCarrick was notified of the decision 2 days later. This decision, following the recognition by the Holy Father, is definitive and admits no further recourse or appeal. In September 2017, the Archdiocese of New York reported to the Holy See accusations against then-Cardinal McCarrick for allegedly abusing a male teenager in the 1970s. Pope Francis ordered an in-depth investigation into the allegations to be carried out by the Archdiocese of New York. In June 2018, a New York Archdiocesan Review Board investigation found that the allegations against McCarrick were credible and substantiated. As a result, he was ordered to no longer exercise publicly his priestly ministry. Meanwhile, news sources continue to publish further accusations of misconduct against adult seminarians, as well as additional accusations of abuse of minors. On July 28, 2018, the Holy See announced that Pope Francis had accepted McCarrick's resignation from the College of Cardinals and ordered his suspension from the exercise of any public ministry. On October 6, 2018, a statement of the Holy See reiterated Pope Francis' pressing invitation to unite forces to fight against the grave scourge of abuse within and beyond the Church and to prevent such crimes from being committed in the future to the harm of the most innocent and vulnerable in society. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
In Nigeria, the Electoral Commission delayed a presidential and parliamentary election that was scheduled to take place on Saturday until February the 23rd. It made the announcement a mere 5 hours before polls were set to open, citing unspecified challenges amid reports that voting materials had not been delivered to all parts of the country. The top candidates in the vote condemned the decision and blamed each other, but appealed to Africa's largest democracy for calm. Cardinal John Olorufemi Onayeken, Archbishop of Abuja, told Vatican News the announcement was a shock to himself and to the people of Nigeria, whom he said are very disappointed.
We just woke up early this morning to hear that the election has been postponed for a week. But for the moment, most Nigerians are thoroughly disappointed that this should not be happening. It has happened, and we watch and see what explanation they will give.
I've read that electoral materials had not been distributed in time, but do you think security issues could be called into play?
Well, we heard, of course, that some of the sensitive electoral materials have not been adequately distributed. We have also heard about difficulties, challenges with regard to the areas in the northeast where the Boko Haram are still active. But we knew of all this since more than 4 years ago. There was plenty of time to take action to make sure that the election went on.
66 people were reportedly killed in an attack in the past few days in the state of Kaduna, a state where there appears to be tension between Christians and Muslims. What is your consideration regarding this?
We also heard the news yesterday of the attack in Kaduna State, claiming 66 lives. And it is attack of people carrying guns who shot and killed people. The details are not yet out. One of the problems is that in Nigeria, that people are killed is no longer news. It's just like a normal thing. And so we have not even heard government react very seriously about it. But we hope eventually more details will come out and we know who is killing what. However, the area of Kaduna has been a very unsafe and problematic area for the past 3 or 4 years. And it is not basically a religious clash between Muslims and Christians. We still believe that basically it is not religious. It is ethnic, it is social.
And that was Cardinal John Onayekin, Archbishop of Abuja. In Albania, thousands of opposition supporters clashed with police on Saturday at an anti-government rally. They were protesting what they claim is a corrupt and inefficient cabinet. The protesters demanded that the government resign and an early election be held. Throwing flares and other objects, the protesters broke through police ranks as they tried in vain to enter the office of Socialist Prime Minister Edi Rama. Police used tear gas to disperse them, but there was no immediate word of any injuries. With inequality and the gap between the rich and the poor ever widening, both globally and within countries, the Holy See is calling for a relentless promotion of the principles of justice, solidarity, and the common good. Archbishop Bernardito Auza, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations, spoke this week at a meeting that addressed inequalities and challenges to social inclusion through fiscal, wage and social protection policies. As Robin Gomes reports, he highlighted how young people, families and women are particularly affected.
Archbishop Auza observed that insecurity and uncertainty particularly affect the young people, many of whom must face the consequences of inequality and persistent unemployment. He recalled Pope Francis' address to the diplomatic corps in January, where he exhorted governments to build secure prospects for young people by investing in initiatives that can help them shape their future and enable them not only to find employment, but also to form a family and raise children. In this regard, the Holy See diplomat emphasized that inclusive quality education, in particular for children and the young in disadvantaged socio-economic situations, is a fundamental instrument in bridging inequalities and a strong enabler for a more dynamic and equitable socio-economic mobility of individuals and entire families. According to the Filipino Archbishop, the promotion of the future of young people must involve investing in and strengthening the family. Besides being the most effective social protection policy of all, because a strong family provides a solid social safety net, he said it also fosters a spirit of inclusion, making society more familial and capacitates the young people to be far better students. Archbishop Auza also stressed on the need to recognize the great contribution that women bring as dignified protagonists of development. It is necessary, he said, to ensure greater equality between women and men, which includes equal pay for equal work, fairness in career advancements, as well as protection for mothers. I'm Robin Gomes.
In Zimbabwe, 9 miners have been rescued from a gold mine days after a burst dam flooded 2 shafts. They are reported to have survived by finding higher ground and wading while up to their necks in water. Dozens are feared to have died underground since the accident that happened on Tuesday night. The government has declared the accident near the town of Kadoma, southwest of the capital Harare, a national disaster. Miners say those trapped are mostly under the age of 24. In Syria, US-backed fighters are reportedly poised to capture the so-called Islamic State's last tiny enclave on the Euphrates. An official of the Syrian Democratic Forces said his army had cornered the remaining militants in a village near the Iraqi border under fire from all sides. But observers say thousands of civilians are trapped in the area and are being used as human shields. The Syrian Democratic Front army official was speaking after US President Donald Trump said on Friday there would be great announcements about Syria over the next 24 hours. Trump has sworn to pull US forces from Syria after Islamic State's territorial defeat, raising questions over the fate of Washington's Kurdish allies and Turkish involvement in northeast Syria. And the United States has told India it supports its right to defend itself against cross-border attacks. The announcement comes as New Delhi considers retaliation against a car bombing in disputed Kashmir claimed by Pakistan-based militants. Tensions between nuclear-armed India and Pakistan have risen again after New Delhi demanded that Pakistan act against the Jaish-e-Mohammed militant group behind the bombing, which killed 44 paramilitary police. Pakistan has denied any complicity. For years, India has accused Pakistan of backing separatist militants in divided Kashmir, which the neighbouring countries both claim in full but rule in part. Pakistan denies that, saying it only offers political and diplomatic support to the Kashmiri people in their struggle for self-determination. And finally, Pope Francis met on Saturday with students and staff of the Agustinianum Patristic Institute in Rome, which is celebrating the 50th anniversary of its foundation. Lydia O'Kane reports.
The Agustinianum Patristic Institute in Rome is dedicated to cultivating the sacred sciences, especially the thought and writings of the fathers of the Church, paying particular attention to St. Augustine. The institute was founded 50 years ago, with St. Paul VI attending the inauguration ceremony. Half a century on, Pope Francis on Saturday met with 250 students and staff, stressing the importance of preserving and transmitting the richness of Catholic tradition, which he said was essential for the Church.
Questo apporto è essenziale per la Chiesa.
He also paid tribute to the many professors who have retired and are no longer here, who have left their mark on the Institute.
E anche vorrei salutare i tanti professori emeriti che non stanno qui ma che hanno lasciato una traccia nell'Istituto.
In particular, he mentioned Maria Grazia Mara, who he said taught so many things and who at 95 still publishes and teaches catechesis to children. Quoting his predecessor, St. Paul VI, the pontiff said that this pope affirmed that the return to the fathers of the Church is part of the return to Christian origins, without which it would not be possible to carry out biblical renewal, liturgical reform, and the new theological research desired by the Second Vatican Ecumenical Council. Citing the Apostolic Constitution Veritatis Gaudium on ecclesiastical universities and faculties, Pope Francis encouraged those present to be faithful to your roots and your task, and underlined that the joy of truth expresses the restlessness of the human heart until it encounters and dwells within God's light and shares that light with all people. St. Augustine, the Pope recalled, knew and expressed to the highest degree the restlessness of the human heart until he finds rest in God, who in Jesus Christ reveals to us the deepest truth about our life and our final destiny. In conclusion, Pope Francis urged the students and staff to pray for one another so that the Lord may support you in your daily commitment to research, teaching and study. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us again tomorrow at the same time for more. You can also follow us on our website, on the Facebook page and on Twitter. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.